a little bit different, because that road between the south end of the baseball field, it had two lanes of parking. It had angled parking and two lanes of traffic through it. When they reversed the baseball field, I don't know why, but they sort of moved the south boundary of the field closer to 17th Street, and so now you see you have angled parking on one side and one-way traffic. I think one of the issues that 16th has always been an issue. I personally think, other than Mr. Adams has a very good point about people leaving the ball field in a crowd, but other than that, I think 16th is not really as much of an issue as many people think. I seriously doubt that many people, unless they happen to be coming to, in this case, a medical clinic from that neighborhood, are going to weave their way up through there, other than in a heavy traffic, I don't have a better route. And there is a relatively easy solution to that, and that would be that I think the people who are contemplating developing the property would consider an agreement to have that as a gated entrance. Gate closes at the end of business hours. Wouldn't take people very long to realize they couldn't go through there, and I think you would eliminate the nighttime traffic back up into the neighborhood out of Clyde Park completely. But it would also leave it so that you had full access to 16th, which I think is a better situation during the day. I don't think that's a high volume access. And there's trade-offs here for everyone. You'll notice if you look at the aerial, the property has a curb cut on 17th. And part of the trade-off is that curb cut will go away, which creates a little better situation for everyone in that area of 17th Street. There's not a perfect solution here, but there are advantages, I think, both to the property owner and to the city, to get a piece of property that, for almost as long as I can remember, when I was a kid and people lived in that house, but it's been years since somebody actually resided in the house. On a piece of property that's a perfect transitional piece of property because of its size and dimension. And I think we can resolve it. I agree with Mr. Tiffany's concept. I think the 16th access was always a little over the top to just say you weren't going to get any access to that street. But I do understand the Quiet Park night traffic concept, that you may get people that would drive through there as a shortcut to go home. We could eliminate that by having as a requirement or putting in the developer's agreement that it would have to be a gated entrance, open it for business hours, close it for all business hours.
That seems a little
strange.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a...
Maybe we could just put a gate into the Woodfields at all the entrances and make all the residents happy.
I will say that whenever there's been anything developed, and I've probably been involved in most of it, anywhere on 17th Street, there was always serious discussion about increasing traffic anywhere on the in residential streets north of 17th. That was a major discussion when what is now Deerwood, first went through its 3 years of permitting. And Mr. Kesselring has done city council for parts of that episode. But it is a constrained site. I think both sides pick up something here and the site becomes usable. And I think for a medical office building in an RO zone where they've got to keep the dimension, there's an element of architectural control. And we actually have the users here to give you some of their ideas and show you some of what they're looking at, which gets us a little further than where we were in 2010. I think it's a usable site. Generally speaking, when I hear people complain about being next to office, to medical offices, it's not the single-story medical office projects. They'll normally talk about the few multi-story projects. One of them being the piece, the project that's just to the east of 22nd, which is a two-story, and it does loom a little bit over the houses behind it. But this one's got a good location for the dumpsters, which is always an issue in that particular area. So we're requesting that you consider amending the development agreement.
Any more questions?
We're going to have Paul and Master Sarah talk a little bit about the constraints on the site, and Mr. Walker will show you a PowerPoint with the ideas that they had.
Oh, okay. Good evening. Paul and Master Sarah, 170 Southeast 32nd Place, Master Sarah Engineering. I heard what the commission has to say and had to say, and I was initially involved with the project. I first got involved with the project, and I was handed this site plan with Mr. Walker without being privy to what the developer's agreement was. So I moved forward and started trying to mimic that, and as I got into it and did some research and used the best available data I had, I realized that there were a lot of constraints and complications in trying to do this building. This was approved back in 2010, however, I don't feel that there was a lot of consideration for the engineering going forward. A couple of points I could make. I'm going to throw up on the screen a few of the concepts that I've done here. Show you what I was talking about. This will be in sequential order, I guess. So I tried to mimic that there, and you know, get a dumpster away from the residence. But even at this particular point, you'll see that I have a DRA on the western side. But with further investigation, that's a severe slope. The property slopes about 16 feet from the northeast corner to the southwest corner. So there's a huge grade difference. Also, the site's encumbered by a flood zone in the front where the access point is. The soils, in my opinion, aren't the greatest. And 16th Avenue slopes from 16th Avenue down to Clyde Park. So there's significant fill that would need to be brought in, and retaining walls as well, to try to do something like this to actually accommodate the drainage that would be associated with this project. Not only do you have to hold what's on site, but also you have to take into consideration what you're filling in that flood zone. You got to compensate for that too. So went back and looked at another site, kind of similar. We had the parking on the one side, still maintained the 75-foot buffer. Talk with staff, we can't have parking in the front yard, which is on 16th Avenue. So that eliminated this particular concept.
Excuse me.
Again, maintaining that 75-foot buffer. I didn't know where that buffer came from. I thought that it was a recommendation from staff. As we got to this point, realized that that was something that the previous landowner offered up. So it started to make sense to me that going through this, the original plan is really not feasible. The amount of money that somebody would need to put into this, in my opinion, you'd probably be looking at putting a 2,000 square foot building on that site. And that's just not economically feasible for a small business owner. Me being a small business owner, I wouldn't consider this property viable with the original plan. Here's another rendition of a site plan. And now you'll see that I tried to stay out of the front yard. I did a DRA in the front, which has got vertical walls on it. Talked with the city, we're encroaching in that buffer again. And so I'm just trying to show you that we've been through lengths on this thing in going back and forth. Here's a red line version of another plan of the previous one I just put up, which shows another potential concept plan. In my opinion, I've sat on this leadership board for the 2035 vision. We've had many workshops with the general public. 17th Street is, going through that process, this fits with the vision plan. The access on 16th Avenue fits in with the vision plan. You want a neighborhood type business or professional office, you want those neighborhoods around there to be able to utilize their internal streets, city streets, to get to the site. Promotes walkability, So to me, not having an access on 16th is, you know, still adds additional constraint to the site. So this was the concept plan that we've decided to go through that mimics, to the best of our ability, what was originally approved, with the exception of the access on the 16th. You see the buffer to the north was reduced, the building size virtually the same, and then we got into the discussion with staff on the architectural style and look at the building. When you start going to a building that's narrow and long, which is really all you can do with the constraints of your front buffers and front yard setbacks, how do you make a building that's that long look residential without really fooling with the roof line? So after those meetings, my client went back and we discussed with staff, well, let's look at two different buildings that could be architecturally, you know, give them some sort of residential look through architecture. So that was one of the two building scenarios. In discussions with staff, they did not think, and nor did we think, that this driveway here would be a good idea, because now it looks like we've got parking in the front yard, so it wouldn't give that residential appeal. And then that beautiful color rendering you saw before is this, just in black and white, which shows the buildings meeting the front yard setback on 16th Avenue. The parking spaces you see there are outside of that setback there on the north. And then we moved the dumpster. I will say, I did speak to sanitation department, because dumpsters are always a concern, and ask them whether or not this could be curbside pickup. They don't generate much garbage. My initial conversation with them was, we won't allow that, to have a residential bin pickup. But they've told me verbally that you would need to put a dumpster, and we wouldn't pick up there until 8 o'clock in the morning, which 8 o'clock in the morning, that's when the business hour starts, and I got a dumpster coming through. But that, I believe, all could be worked out. So I think I'm going to approach them again and look at residential bins out front, because I don't believe, in my opinion, this site generates enough waste to require a dumpster. So, I just wanted to show y'all that we've been through this, and when we start talking about putting restrictions on this site right now in this meeting, there hasn't been a boundary survey done on this. There hasn't been a geotechnical report done on this. I mean, this can all change. If you start saying, oh, well, this has got to be a right in, right out, this has got to be here, we might be back here again. And my client is committed to this project. It's not like he's looking to buy it and flip it or let it sit. They're going to be out of their building here soon, where they're at now, with their lease being up, and they would like to get under construction as quickly as possible. So they're committed. He's going to get up and speak about, you know, what their practice is and what they do, and I'm here for any questions.
Any questions?
I just think that staff just rolled over and approved anything that they brought. You know?
No, it's a process.
So, Paul, let me ask you a question. With that building being in that original 75-foot area, I mean, what is your opinion on, in your mind, does it kind of serve as a buffer in a way, even though it's not really, but I mean, it's kind of...
No, well, yeah, the building, in my opinion, would be, it's going to look like a single-family home, so, that's going to be a block. They're not going to generate any noise. I mean, you probably might have more people complain if this thing was a thoroughfare with the park letting out, and I think that my clients don't have a problem putting the gate. I think that gate might act as even more residential character to the office, so I think the building will be a buffer. You're going to hear about their hours of operation and everything. I mean, I might say something that I shouldn't say, because I really don't know. I didn't go through the whole PowerPoint that he's got to show you. But to answer your question, yes, I think the building would be a buffer as well.
One more point to that. So the site plan that you kind of showed right there.
The last one?
We want to really look at and focus on. How much space is between that building in the north and the property line up there? I mean, what is that?
I mean, it's about 20, maybe 25 feet. Here's the thing. Before, it was a natural buffer. So,
right. But you're going to probably leave most of that up there. I mean, you're not going to have to touch the trees along the northern bank.
Right. I mean, we wouldn't want to. Right. Even with a 75-foot buffer, you'd still have to tear some of that out with the, you know, the way the slope was with that initial design, that you wouldn't even be able to, you wouldn't be able to leave that 75-foot buffer there. Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, when you're looking at coming across from west or east to west, there's pretty significant slope. And that, I mean, that's just based on, I mean, I went to the site and I also looked at the city topography. Like I say, I don't know the true topo because nothing's been done yet. And that's why I'm a little bit, I wouldn't say maybe scared that if we start stipulating too many things, we might be back here asking for modifications to this thing. And that's another $3,000 to amend that to the client. So, I mean, he's put in some ample money and investment into this thing. I can tell you that right now, and he'll probably elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Just a quick random question. Is there not a lift station somewhere on the east side of Clyde Park, or is that over on the west side by 14th Avenue?
That's on the west side. I think that's on the west side.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. We good?
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Don Walker, 2500 Northwest 53rd Avenue Road. Let me introduce to you, before I begin, my son, Dr. Jonathan Walker. This is a family business, and we moved to Ocala. We chose Ocala 4 years ago. My wife and I moved here, as well as my son and his new family, because we felt like Ocala was a prime place to invest ourselves and raise our families. We incorporated as Ocala Integrative Medicine. We purchased the old Ocala Chiropractic Center. It's the oldest chiropractic practice in Ocala. Pete Fambro was there for years and years and years, and others. But my son's vision was to bring to this community more than just a chiropractic clinic, but to bring an integrated medical facility to help people find health and healing naturally, without a lot of pills and without a lot of surgery. We're operating now as Ocala Spine and Injury because we deal with a lot of issues that have to do with those two topics. We see probably a majority of the auto accident patients in Ocala now. It's become sort of a niche for us. You'll see that we purchased this property in 2000, or we purchased the practice in 2008. We're active members of the Chamber of Commerce. You see a picture of my grandchildren. That's really why I was wanting to do that. We purchased this small business in 2008. When we did, we employed 5 people. In 4 years, this business has grown dramatically. We currently employ 15 and have started 2 additional companies, a durable medical equipment company, as well as a marketing company that serves clients all over the country and in Canada. The facilities that we're in right now were purchased most recently by the First United Methodist Church. If you've driven by, you've seen that they're scraping it clean for a parking lot, which has caused us great consternation. But either way, our lease is up on October the 15th this year, so we have to come up with a solution, and that's what we've been looking for. We brought 4 physicians into town to be a part of this practice. My son, of course, Dr. John Walker. Dr. Anthony Sanchetta is a doctor of osteopathic medicine. And then we have 2 new chiropractors, Richard Fontaine and Jonathan Torres. What we offer is a crucial medical facility that'll also be a good neighbor. We want to be good neighbors. As a matter of fact, I'm looking for a house right now. And I'm looking at, we drove the neighborhood the other night, and I'm looking at houses there. I'd like to live there. It's a neat place. We want to be good neighbors first and foremost. Our hours of operation, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are our long days. We see patients from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6:30 in the evening. On Tuesday, we don't see patients. We do other things. We do some of the paperwork stuff that we need to do. We see patients only by medical emergency. For example, this last Tuesday, we got two different phone calls, one from two couples that had come to Marion County to vacation from Pennsylvania, were here a day and were rear-ended. And so they needed help, so we brought them in and we saw them. Thursday afternoons, we see patients from 2 to 6:30 and absolutely no weekends, so that's not an issue. One of the things that interests me as we identified this property was we treat a lot of sports injuries, and Clyatt Park is a place of sports and recreation. And so I think it's a very natural fit. It's a good place to be that I think would be an addition not only to that part of the community, but to Clyatt Park in specific because of what goes on there. This is a conforming commercial use that would have only a positive impact on the property values in the area as we serve the neighborhoods with needed quality medical care. We do a lot of quality care from children through senior citizens. And then, like I mentioned earlier, we see a lot of victims of automobile accidents in Marion County. Our intent is to purchase this property. It's an eyesore right now. We want to purchase it, clean it up, make it an integral part of the community, a first-class medical facility. We're serious about this. This isn't something that we're just playing landowner on. We've invested over $13,000 just in the process, and we don't even own the property yet. And personally, I've invested well over 1,000 hours. If I'm with the city offices much more, they're probably going to have to make a place for me because I'm constantly calling them and saying, what can we do to make this happen? What do we need to look at? I mentioned our lease is up. Time is of the essence. Contractors say that it takes 9 months to build the building. So we need to get moving if this is going to be able to happen. And if it doesn't, we'll be homeless. I'm going to just share with you just pictures. You've already seen them. Apollo showed you pictures of the original agreement, some of the many different drawings that he's done. This is a rendering. City staff asked me for pretty pictures. Of course, there were no pretty pictures. So I went out and hired an engineer, architectural engineer, to design the building, and then hired an artist to bring a pretty picture. And I brought them a pretty picture, and they said, it looks too industrial. And it's like, why didn't you tell me that before I invested all this money in a pretty picture? So I have a pretty picture if anyone would like one to go on their wall. But I understand what they're saying. So we began to look at these other concepts. This drawing has been redrawn 50 or 60 times. It's just amazing. I bought a CAD program. When I'm through with this, I'm going to go into the architectural design business. Paulo's already showed you this proposed picture. After I was told that the building was too architectural and the wrong color, I started researching and looked at hundreds of pieces of property. It's not important, other I just wanted to show you. I looked at a lot of them, and when you start looking at a 7,500 square foot building, they just look institutional. You know, there's not many houses that are shaped like that. So we have come down to a couple of concepts. That if this process, when this process is able to go forward, this is the kind of thing that we've been told would be a good potential fit in the neighborhood. So I have two pictures, this one and then this picture. Quite honestly, this is my favorite. But you see, our intent is to build something there that would be a gem in the community. Would be something that would be an asset, something that would look right. We want to do the right thing. The 16th issue came up. I love the idea of a gate because I don't really want to have to maintain a city thoroughfare. So I'm not opposed to that idea whatsoever, if that's what it took to get it done, to decrease the traffic. So these are general principles, again. Once this project we're able to proceed, then we'll go full bore into all the architecture and engineering. But it's important to us, and I want you to know that. I've looked at many, many vacant buildings. We have had contracts on a couple of buildings, but problems existed. When it came down to it, we realized that it would cost much more to take some of the vacant buildings and renovate them than it would be to just start from scratch and build something exactly what we need. Because of the type of our practice, we have a very specific patient flow. It's different than most medical offices. And so that's when we came to the idea of, let's just build something that will be an asset, not only to our business, but to the community and to the neighborhood. I think that's the best pitch I've got, given the fact that I'm not a professional pitch man. Questions?
All right, thanks.
By myself or my son.
Yeah, from the pretty pictures that you've given us, are those pictures looking at it from the parking lot or looking at it from the neighbor's perspective on 16th?
Well, and see, that's one of the things that, as Mr. Aiken, the realtor, said, this property's got a lot of hair on it. And one of the things is this property, the way we've been directed, kind of has to have three front entrances. And as you understand, the front entrance is always the priciest entrance. And so one of the things that we'd have to do would be to architecturally design it so that it looked good on three sides, the side 16th, 17th, and the park. Obviously, if we're mandated to place the parking lot on the west side of the property, then that means the front of our business, the entrance, is going to face west, face Client Park. And we obviously want that to be appealing to our patients and our clients. So that needs to be, I would assume that would be the view that you're seeing here. We've worked hard in terms of what would face 17th, and we've also talked a lot about what would face 16th. And I can assure you that we're going to do everything possible to make it look like something that the neighbors would be proud of. I'm a little bit constrained in this because my daughter-in-law has very, very high tastes. And so, as I shared with the city staff, she's not going to let me go build a building there that she wouldn't be proud to have her name put on. So that's a part of the struggle, but that's one that we're willing to take on. And again, our goal is to be good neighbors. Our business is good. We're not only men of integrity, but we're men of deep faith. And we have a lot of patients who are part of us because of the way we treat them. Our patients treat us, and we treat them like family. And they consider themselves our family. And that's just who we are and how we choose to do business.
What's your plan on as far as developing the back building? Would you just build the front one first and the back one later when you found a tenant for it or expanded or whatever you're going to do?
Yes, sir. My son's original idea was to build the whole enchilada. I have tried to bring reason into his life and tell him that the economic times are not good. This is a cautionary time, and I ask him to kind of consider that. And so the first phase building would be the one closest to the street. That would be the one that our business would occupy. And then when the time came that we had a viable suitor for the back property, then that would be developed as well.
But you'd build the entire parking lot?
Yes, we want to build the entire parking lot. I want to get the site plan approved so we don't have to come and harass you or mess with you again. We just like to be able to build our business and then have the option to use the remainder of the property. Nothing would suit us better than to have the neighbors love us. That's our goal, and that's what we would work towards.
Okay. Any other questions?
I've got the only one question. There's a lot of different executions. Y'all have done a great job architecturally. There's only one execution where y'all actually met the criteria that was the hairiest part on the road, and there's only one design that doesn't show access from 16th. Were there other designs where you met the criteria that was put on the property, no access to 16th, and they just didn't make it here tonight?
We've drawn it like I said, hundreds of times. Paulo came to me early on in the process when we really got serious about drawing, and he said, Don, the topographical, and I don't know all the terminology, but the floods and floodplains and all that, he says, makes this an unusable piece of property, given the original design. And so that's when we begin to work and draw and think and figure. And like I said, I've spent well over 1,000 hours.
Yeah. It's a great design. I mean, in addition to that, you picked up about an extra, a little over 2,000 square feet of office space in it. You picked up additional parking, but it's, you know, the concern was the 16th Avenue access, you know, especially with it being two-way.
And honestly, the additional space, whenever we decided, when we were directed to kind of move towards two buildings versus one, we took what we needed, and then the rest, when Paulo drew it, was a little bitty building. And I said, that looks funny. And so even in that, I said, let's blow that up a little bit so that it looks proportional and looks right. So that's why it expanded from, you know, the remainder from what we need to where this is.
Yeah. And I know nothing about traffic patterns. No, nothing. I don't know anything about traffic patterns. But is there ways, the gate's a concept, but is there ways to limit the access? Because we did have a large number of residents from in that neighborhood that were concerned. I was a prior resident three blocks back from that. I've seen, you know, we used to see the traffic when Forest High School was still open.
Mm-hmm.
And it was substantial when the school would let something out in the evening. So just trying to keep everything.
Yeah, honestly, as you've talked about this, I was a little amazed because you brought up something that I've never thought of, and that was people leaving the ballpark. I never thought about that, that people would use that as a shortcut to get out. That's immediately when I leaned over to Paulo and I said, I like the gate because I don't want to have to maintain a public thoroughfare.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Is it not feasible just to kill 16th Avenue? I think other than that.
You mean just kill it dead or kill
just kill the access. Just turn that into three more parking spaces.
Well,
where you go in, you turn around, and you have to go back out the way you came in.
We deal with a lot of senior citizens, and the whole idea of little old ladies pulling in and backing out and having to go out this way, I think it just makes a lot more sense from a from a public standpoint to have the option of pulling out and leaving another direction. Again, we've thought about it. We've struggled with it, and you know, I know there's an answer, but in order to get there, I think it would be fair for us to have a commitment to be able to design this. Because right now we're just dealing with ifs, ands, and buts, spending a lot of money and a lot of time, and if you don't approve it, then it's just a waste. So we're committed. I'm telling you, we are committed to this project and to see it work, and we'll do whatever has to happen, certainly within reason, because.
Well, this is a huge improvement over what sits there now.
I think so. I think it would be an asset. I think the neighbors, when they see it, would be proud. And I'm pleased, you know, on some level that you know, I wanted, you know, we will be befriending neighbors. We'll be meeting them and cultivating those relationships because that's the kind of neighbors we want to be. I wouldn't build this in my neighborhood if I didn't think that this would be an asset to my neighborhood. John, do you have anything you'd like to say in addressing them?
Everything's been covered pretty thoroughly.
Yeah. We're committed to Ocala.
Very good.
Any other questions?
Anything else? I think you're off the hook. All right, we'll open it up to the public. Anybody has anything to say? Step forward and state your name and address for the record.
John Marin, 1528 Southeast 17th Avenue. I won't be directly affected by the traffic on 16th, other than the traffic coming through the neighborhood. 16th Avenue ends on 14th Street. Then he had to cut right to my avenue, 17th Avenue, then up to 13th, then make it another right or left. It's not a through street at all. The last 2 years ago, we went through this whole process. You know, I think we ended up with a plan that was not making the residents very happy, but they felt they could live with it. With the buffer zone that you had planned, seemed adequate. The no right in, right out was acceptable to most of us. They had a lot of pretty pictures and like a nice, positive outfit. But almost they sound like even with those, their growth is so much that it would not be even big enough. And just looking at the that one drawing he put up, when he just built two buildings, put them side by side, back up to 16th Avenue. They've done this on 18th Avenue. In fact, there's a new building going up right now. It's a long, quite particularly friendly looking building on 18th. There's several on 18th. Cutting through the neighbors would be a problem, but the gate might cut out some of the people trying to cut through there, which would be a hazard. The original plan where they talked about putting a stoplight on 17th Street at 15th Avenue, I think it wasn't a good one, but at least that was one that would direct the flow and give a little control over that traffic. Obviously, I'm personally against it. We missed that buffer zone. We don't need traffic going through the neighborhoods. It is a residential neighborhood. There's a lot of people walking day and night. In fact, I'm a little weary. One of my neighbors walking his dog every morning, sometimes before daylight. It's hard to see. And in the evenings. So it is a tricky neighborhood. It's an active neighborhood. More and more younger children are coming in. My closest contact comes now with grandchildren, so it's actually I really think there's other sites would be more favorable for them than that particular site. They have a lot of positive things, sounding things going for them, which I think is good. But I think the land use that we originally had should be stuck to. You all worked hard to get that put together. Now 2 years later, with a new owner, a new potential whatever, we gotta go through this again. I wish them luck in their project, but it's not going to enhance that neighborhood that much. It's just another commercial building. And we know there's a lot of medical parks around. Personally, I think there's enough of them. I don't understand the you can't hardly turn a corner without another medical park. Which, you know, I think you're all leaning one way, but I regret that. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Danielle Klein. My house is directly across 1619 Southeast 16th Avenue. And I have two small children. And the gentleman said, we have a lot of little old ladies, we don't want them to turn around. Well, then I don't want them driving on my street where there are small children. There is no, like you spoke earlier, there is no left turn from 16th Avenue directly onto 17th Street. If there is any kind of traffic backup, I actually have to call the police because they speed so fast onto 16th Avenue that it puts kids in danger. If you're, it's 45 coming off there, so you have to go on to 35. A lot of people just take that turn really fast. My house is the first one, not on the corner, but across. I just don't think it would be safe to have that there. There's at least five other houses on that street that have children that are small. I don't see how it would be beneficial to the neighborhood to have an access point from 16th Avenue. And it's definitely not at all safe. I mean, we don't really let our children play in the street, but it is a nice neighborhood. It's a nice residential neighborhood. So I definitely think it would be a bad idea. And like you said, we did go through this 2 years ago, and everybody brought up the point, oh, if we went through it, we'd have to go through it again and keep going through it, and here we are again. And that's really all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Van Aiken. My address is 615 East Silver Springs Boulevard. I'm the real estate broker that's involved in this transaction. I've had the property on the market for about a year and a half, and as I told the Walkers, it's a very difficult site to develop. And that was a lot of the constraint on the site, was the access, and it's just it was a tough piece. But I have to say, and you have to believe it, the Walkers in the medical business have been diligent about their efforts to make this site work. It's been surprising. I would have thought that they would have given up a while back. I did take the site to the city parks and recreation area, and they didn't want it for additional parking. I guess what they wanted to do was get somebody else to develop it so they could use the additional parking. I think you got a nice plan here. They worked hard and spent a lot of money to make it work. Dr. Bruce is in his profit sharing plan. He's liquidated a lot of real estate and wants this to be liquidated also, and has discounted the price accordingly to make it attractive for somebody to be able to develop it. But I'd appreciate it if you would consider. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close it off, bring it back to the board. Any further questions or discussions or motions?
Well, I mean, my initial reaction is I think it's a nice plan. I think Mr. Adams made a good point with the high traffic time when people are leaving the field. That does create a concern. I think the gate takes care of that completely. I'm not as concerned with a high number of people just using that exit when they're leaving. I think that most people are going to be coming via 17th Street and will reflexively go back out via 17th Street unless they're going somewhere up in the Woodfield area, which is probably going to be few and far between. So I don't see that as much of a concern. I certainly appreciate, you know, the concern of the people on that street and not wanting a bunch of heavy traffic. I just don't see that practically being a problem, unless it's folks who live, like I said, just north of the clinic. I think the only time we have to worry is when the field's emptying out and the gate mitigates it. So I don't want to make a motion too early, so I'll abstain from moving at this point if we want to continue to discuss it. But my suggestion, can we go ahead and put one on the table?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move to approve with the condition that the entrance on 16th Avenue is gated, subject to architectural review.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. We got any further discussions on that or anything?
I'm trying to compare the current site, figure out where that exit comes out, whether it comes out directly across from the house across the street. I don't believe it does.
And we won't be able to be sure really right now, as Mr. Mastrosario said when he was up there. He doesn't have the borings or any of the data from the site to know exactly where that would go.
But it looks like it'd probably be somewhere like right around the...
It'd be roughly in the location that's shown on this. Be farther, it would skew towards the north.
And that's a vacant piece of property there on the corner, isn't it?
Yep, as of right now it is, yeah.
Small.
You got plans for it?
Well, they got a sign up there, they're trying to do something with it. So.
It's, you look at the very end of the package, if you go back, it looks like it's going to be pretty close to the property line of the front lot.
Yeah, I was trying to compare where the
at
trees
worst case
were
scenario.
Falling.
It's got to be somewhere right around there, yeah.
Yeah, it's south of that, south of the tree that's shown on the aerial now.
I tend to agree. The majority of people that will use that as an exit will go to 17th Street as opposed to going through the neighborhood unless they're looking for a cut to get out. Here's my concern with the neighborhood. If you've driven through there at night, you know my concern. That is, you've got overhanging trees, you've got very little lighting, and you have no sidewalks. And when you get off of the road, there are typically V-ditches on the sides. So if you're out at twilight walking your children and you've got cars coming through there making use of it, you've got a dangerous situation where there's nowhere to go but the road if you're walking. So that my concern is to try and make sure that we address the pedestrian as well as addressing the access issue for this particular site. I understand the comment from the lady who lives across the street. If you've got an exit right there across from your house, that's problematic to you. I'm not sure I have easy answers.
Does the gate help with your concerns a little? Yeah. I mean, because that would...
The gate helps...
Pretty much eliminate the nighttime exit through there.
Right. As long as it's operable and it's maintained as operable. I've seen gates that were acquired by P&Z, that I've seen those gates swung open and left open and never closed. I've also seen a few pickup trucks in town that can take out an ornamental gate like I would expect to be put in here in nothing flat. And I would assume the walkers at about the third or fourth gate are going to be tired of putting the gates back up.
Well, is there like a band of like crazy four-wheel drive truckers that just knock gates over in the town?
You know, I used to live one house off 22nd Avenue, and I was the one that stood up here in front of P&Z to get the stop signs on 22nd Avenue to deter the traffic, because we had a road, it's 25th, to carry that traffic. 22nd Avenue had no business carrying the traffic it did. We moved out of that house because of the traffic two doors down. Not what was on in front of my house, but the noise that we had to listen to on 22nd Avenue, people just taking the shortcut through the neighborhood. Other than one very basic drawing done where they attempted to maximize this property and it truly showed that 16th Avenue absolutely had to be open, or I'd heard any argument that supported that 16th Avenue had to be open, but that the only argument that supports that driveway is little old ladies can't back their car out. If they can't back out to go left, they can't back out to go right. And like the resident said, if they can't back out of the parking lot, they don't need to be running around a residential neighborhood. They need to just go out and fight with the big cars on 17.
I think the real answer to Nate's question is we all know Nathan Gibney is going to be driving before too long.
That may be true.
Yeah.
But it's like, initially I never had a problem. I didn't have a problem with 16th Avenue. I still don't have a problem with 16th Avenue. It's been said a couple times. 16th Avenue is not a through street. You got to zig and zag to get through there. So I don't think it would take someone very long to figure out that this is not the easiest way for me to get from 17th Street or from Kerrigan to Fort King. It's not. I mean, you got to go a roundabout way, you end up at dead ends. I mean, it's just not exactly the easiest way to get through. I just don't see it as a big issue. I see professional office use as the most suitable transition from 17th Street to the residential uses. And I also know, and a lot of people may not realize this, but a neighborhood is not just comprised of single-family homes. A neighborhood includes other uses such as offices and retail properties. And, you know, this seems like it fits with the neighborhood. And Paul said it, and I really didn't think about it, but the fact that, you know, we talk about walkability and people being able to get places, and it seems like actually having the access to 16th makes it more a part of the neighborhood, which I don't totally disagree with. And then lastly, I think the gate still seems kind of silly, but in fact, it's an office on 17th Street. I don't have a big problem with it.
Sorry. Yes.
You know,
I would just say, I've looked at rezonings along 17th Street for 20 years, and I've always felt like it should be office space. Always mm-hmm. should be. And it has always been a very, very difficult road to to deal with. You know, so, I mean, I have no problem with the office space, and I don't really even have any problem with the access onto 16. Because, I mean, if you take a look at almost every traffic study that's ever done and every recommendation, it's the best is to have multiple points of access and egress. Because that way what you do is you cut down on everybody bottling all up at one place. From this development in and of itself, I just don't see much traffic going back north. I mean, hardly any. And, I mean, if having a gate there wins this battle so that we can move forward, that's why I seconded the motion.
Okay, all right. Well, we got the motion on the table, so let's call the roll.
Can you restate it before you call?
Restate it.
All right. What do you want to restate?
No, you can.
I just moved to approve on the, with the condition that we include a gated entrance at 16th, subject to architectural review.
Okay. All right. All right. Go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Batsel?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Nay.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Schott?
No.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. All right, it looks like that is it for tonight. Anybody got anything to add?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, I'll second that. Move to adjourn. Meeting's adjourned. Oh, I'm sorry, you got something, Pete?
Just the only thing is, if you have a flash drive, make sure you give it back to Peggy so that we can get it to you again. Otherwise, we have to keep buying flash drives.
Just email me everything, right?
Oh, there we go.
Laura corresponds with
all. If you can let Laura
know. She has a flash drive.
I got no email.
You do?
And I got an email of the agenda only, three pages.
Nate,
I didn't get any of the additional items.
Flash
no, you just email it to us, right? That's all I got.
She can't always email them if they're too large. Then that she has to.
Okay, well, this time you just emailed everything.